You know? That's called explosive diarrhea. It's not necessarily a spiritual thing. Okay? A burning in the bosom. What are we talking about? Like, you got heartburn? Because you know what? Yeah, the Bible does say of the disciples when speaking to Jesus, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, you know, in the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? But you know what? Their heart wasn't literally on fire. And you know what? There's times where the disciples heard the same Christ and their heart did not burn. It doesn't mean what he said wasn't true. It was still true. So the sensation and the feeling that you get does not lend veracity to the message that's being preached or taught. If it's not in the Bible, then it needs to be disregarded. Why? Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's untrustworthy. You know, if I hear a certain piece, a certain song, it can make my hair stand up, you know? Right? You guys ever get that when you hear a certain song? It's just like, makes you all nostalgic. And, you know, on my reels, I'm getting a lot of Christmas videos right now. And I'm just like, the hairs are just, the goosebumps are, it's just like, 100 degree weather. And I'm just like, Right? Feelings don't really mean anything when it comes to determining whether something is true or not. Okay? So it's just like, oh, but what if they, you know, they feel like they're connected to God? It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, what does the Bible say? What is it actually teaching? Don't you realize that the prophet in the Mormon church is simply someone who's masquerading as Esau? Not really hairy. They're a smooth man under. Okay? They may talk the same. They may say the same vocabulary. They talk about Jesus. They talk about faith. They talk about grace. They may have all the terminology there. But at the end of the day, they're false apostles. Deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Right? Which is what Jacob is doing. He's transforming himself into his brother in order to deceive his father. Look at verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Now this is interesting because, again, it demonstrates that Isaac's discernment is off. Because how is he trying to determine if it's a son? If he can feel him. You understand? Like, instead of, you know, visually seeing with his spiritual eyes, you know, why didn't you just like, come close, let me look at you real quick. Oh yeah, that's a horrible mustache. You're not. You have no mustache. You know, he's just kind of like feeling him. And, you know, this demonstrates here that Isaac is walking by his feelings. He's walking by his sensations, right? What he feels. He's determining situations based upon his feelings and so forth. You know, we need to make sure that we don't do the same. Okay? This is why we need spiritual discernment, not how we feel. Okay? Well, I just see things a certain way. I just see this. It's just like, yeah, but what's the truth, though? Okay? You know, you can't feel around for the hairiness and expect to say, like, okay, this is Esau. Because look, he felt him, and it felt like Esau, but it wasn't Esau. What he should have done is just question him. You know what I mean? Like, ask him something that only Esau knew and that his dad knew. Okay? So he says, verse 22, and Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So, you know, he has Esau's garment on. So obviously if he's feeling, he's like, okay, he has the coat. And then if you remember earlier, the mom took a couple of the hairs from the goats and kind of like made it possibly like glued it on his hands and on his neck in case he kind of felt them around. So, you know, as he's listening to him, he actually discerns like, oh, this voice sounds like Jacob, but he feels like Esau. You should have gone with how you're listening to him then, his voice, because he was right. Okay. And so, you know, it's like us when we are, you know, discerning a preacher, a pastor. You know, they may look like one, right? We may feel like they're a righteous person, But what does their voice sound like, though? I don't mean do they sound gay or something like that, or you're feminine. Like, does he have a lisp? I'm saying, like, what are the doctrines that are coming out of his mouth? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things, the Bible says. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So, you know what, maybe your eyes are a little dim because you're still a spiritual babe in Christ. Well, you know, read between the lines. Listen to the voice. Is it the voice of the shepherd? Is it the voice of Christ? Well, you need to disregard how the preacher feels, right? How he makes you feel, okay? Like, well, you know, I've heard these pastors, and I just felt like the presence of God was there, okay? I feel like God was in that place. Hey, you hear that word that's constantly being used, feel, felt? What did they say, though? Well, I don't remember what they said. I just feel like God was there. Yeah, real cute, but what did he say, though? Because if he's teaching a false gospel, it doesn't matter how he makes you feel. You can watch a movie, and people will make you feel a certain way, right? I mean, It's a Wonderful Life makes you feel a certain way. You guys ever seen It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, man, no one's seen it. What? Make it a tradition. It's a Christmas tradition. It's a black and white movie, okay? My wife got me into that on Christmas, and at the end of the movie, I'm just like in tears. I'm serious, I am. It just makes me, because, you know, it makes me feel a certain way, okay? You know, that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to evoke emotion. And you know what? The Bible tells us that these men have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. They speak with great swelling words of vanity because they're trying to, listen to this, allure through the lust of the flesh. They try to appeal to your feelings, to the way that you feel, because they know that people are sensual. They will make decisions based upon how they feel instead of actually listening for the voice of the shepherd. So, well, it feels great here. You know, I feel like the music's great. And everyone looks so nice, and it just looks great. But why not actually discern the voice, though? Okay? Is he actually, you know, to us, we'd go to a place like that and be like, you know, he looks like a lamb, but he speaks as a dragon, though. Okay? Because what he's saying is false. So this is Isaac's problem. He's feeling his way towards determining whether this is Esau or not. And obviously, his feelings fail him, they deceive him, and he makes the wrong decision, right? Verse 23 says, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed them. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. So he ends up blessing him, thinking that it's Esau. And what is the major principle that we can learn from this part of the story? You know, you can't always trust what you see, kind of thing, right? You can't really trust how people portray themselves to be. So the Bible says that there's wolves in sheep's clothing, you know, and often it requires some crazy thing to come out in order for people to realize, like, oh, man, this person is actually horrible. You know, this morning, just got news of a fundamental Baptist by the name of Kenny Baldwin, okay, who has been a pastor for quite some time. His father was a pastor, major church planter, and, you know, very well known in the old IFB. But his son, Kenny Baldwin, has been pastoring. This guy's a pedophile. A stinking sexual pervert, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And we knew of this guy in the old IP, as in, like he was known. You know, people admired him. They liked him. He was a dynamic preacher. You know, I can't think of a time that I actually heard of his sermons, but I knew of him. I definitely knew of his father. But this guy is an absolute pervert, pedophile. They arrested him because he was exposing himself to minors and whatnot. And it's just like, well, didn't he just fall into... No, he's Jacob wearing Esau's clothing. I'm not calling Jacob a pedophile. Obviously, I'm using the principle that we're learning here, that he is masquerading as someone and he's not that person. Okay? This person, you know, the Bible says that they shall proceed no further. That they will be made manifest. They went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us, the Bible says. This guy's an apostate. He's a reprobate. And you know what? I hope they convict him and he rots in hell. Or I hope he gets arrested in a Los Angeles prison. Because you know what they do to pedophiles in California prisons. Amen. Because he deserves to be publicly executed for being a wicked person. Amen. You know, you're like, oh man, you shouldn't just talk down about other pastors like that. First of all, he's a fake and he's a phony. He's a reprobate. Yeah. He's an infiltrator. Yep. Okay? He's not a righteous person. It's not like, this is not a David situation, first and foremost. Right. Yeah. People are like, well, David fell into sin. Oh, you know, find me the verse where David sexually molested a 15-year-old boy. Oh, wait. Doesn't exist. Yeah, what David did was super wicked. He committed adultery. You know, he took another man's wife. Extremely wicked. But you know what? It's a far cry from pedophilia, though. Right. And it's a sin that is common to man, unfortunately. But it's not reprobation. Yep. You know, when you have these, you know, men coming into positions of authority in a church, they're doing it in order to take advantage of the innocent, to beguile unstable souls. These are godless, wicked children of the devil, masquerading as Esau, but they're deceivers. And you know what? They're twice dead, plucked by the roots. That guy's going to split hell wide open. Okay? And you know, it's unfortunate because I'm sure a lot of old IFPs are like, well, he just needs to be restored, and we just need to pray for him. And yeah, pray some imprecatory prayers for him. You know, I love the old IFB, but man, they need to get on board with the reprobate doctrine and recognize that these people are irredeemable. They're disgusting perverts, and they're the reason why a lot of these kids are being molested in churches. You know, this happens in all types of churches, you know, and I'm not standing up here thinking, oh yeah, it's only the Catholic Church. No, it happens in fundamental Baptist churches too. It's not the fact that they're Baptist pastors. It's the fact that it's infiltrators coming into Baptist churches, taking on positions of authority with the intent to take advantage of the innocent, such as what's happening with Kenny Baldwin. Okay? Disgusting, wicked, but it's a clear example here. This guy looked like a fundamental Baptist. He looked like a righteous person, preached hundreds and maybe even thousands of sermons, you know, pastor at a Baptist church or whatever. And look, he's a complete pedophile. You know what? Every time a pedophile gets exposed in a church, we need to say something about it. Yeah. And not just be like, well, you know. People are sick and tired of other people just backing up these pedophiles just because they're pastors. Those people need to be publicly executed because they're wicked and vile. Right. Okay? And you know what? This is not a church that will try to reform pedophiles. It's not going to happen. You're a pedophile. Don't come to our church. Amen. Unless you want to come out looking differently than the way you came in. I got no love for pedophiles. Yep. And so, you know, they're individuals who are deceivers masquerading as Esau. You're like, oh man, you're talking so bad about Jacob, you know? Well, here's the thing. You know, there's just a lot of applications. Okay? And, you know, he's rightfully named Jacob. He is a supplanter. And God is using the bad mistakes that he made in order to help us preachers in the future have some illustrations to give regarding biblical principles of false prophets, deception, and so forth. Okay? So he receives the blessing from his dad. And, you know, mission complete, apparently. Verse 30. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise, eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. So it says basically that once this was done, as soon as Jacob leaves, Esau comes in. Okay. Just scarce. And he brings him the venison and brings him the food. And he says, hey, it's time to eat, Dad. Verse 33. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing. So, you know, I don't know what you're crying about, Esau. Like, you literally sold your birthright two chapters before. All of a sudden, though, now that your dad is officially blessed, your brother, now it's a big deal to you, huh? And so he weeps, he cries, and the father here recognizes, like, you know, Jacob came with subtlety, meaning that he was cunning, he was deceptive, and so forth. He says in verse 36, and he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. You sold your birthright, first and foremost. But yeah, you're right, halfway. And behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto him, Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren I have given to him for servants, and with corn and wine and so forth. So he kind of lays out the blessings that he's given to his brother, and then he begins to explain to him the blessings that he's going to receive. Now, here's the thing, folks, is that, again, none of this really overrides what God was going to do. Because Esau's making this big deal, but read the rest of the story of Esau. He is blessed. He's blessed tremendously, right, of the Lord. Like, even to the point where, you know, spoiler alert, when they end up reconciling, because Esau wants to kill Jacob, which is why Jacob ends up fleeing into a foreign land. You know, when he comes back to reconcile with his brother, you know, he wants to bring him gifts. And what does Esau say? He says, I have enough. Like, God has blessed me. I have all of these possessions and wealth. Like, God was with Esau as well. Okay? So it's demonstrating that, you know, all this is just all drama. You're just making a big deal about nothing. Okay? Yeah, he supplanted you. Yeah, he did wrong. But keep in mind, you did sell your birthright and so forth. Okay? Now, I do want to mention here that one of the reasons the Bible is highlighting Esau weeping is because it's supposed to illustrate a spiritual truth. You know, because although he did get blessed thereafter, this is essentially demonstrating that we need to make sure that Satan doesn't steal the blessings from us by our disobedience to God. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12, excuse me. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look what it says in verse number 16, verse 15, excuse me. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You know, obviously God has certain blessings that he wants to give to you. Certain things that he wants to show himself strong on your behalf. But you can forfeit those blessings by your sin. You know, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah that your sin hath withholding good things from you. Yeah, you know, God has a lot of blessings that he wants to give you. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. He wants to demonstrate his power and his might in your life. But you can actually forfeit those blessings by your disobedience, by your sin. And you know what? When you forfeit those, it doesn't matter how much you cry for it. You won't get it back. So, you know, one strong motivator for us to stay right with God is what? We need to make sure that we obey the Lord and keep serving God and be honest and not sell our birthright and not allow the supplanter, Jacob, the deceiver, the man who is subtle, to come and steal the blessing from us. Yeah, make no mistake about it. Jacob holds a large responsibility for what took place, but so does Esau. And so you can seek it carefully with tears. You can beg, you know, Isaac for it. But, you know, certain things, it's just too late. It's too late. Because of your sin, you can forfeit the blessings of God. Okay? Go back to Genesis, if you would. 27. So from verses 39 through 40, we have the blessings that Isaac is giving Esau. Verse 41 says, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. So this guy's already looking for revenge. He's like, my dad's about to die soon. And once he dies, I'm going to exact revenge on my brother. He wants to kill him. It says in verse number 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Well, Rebekah, you know, this is your fault too. And you know what? This kind of shows you that when you practice to deceive, you have to keep coming up with different solutions because there's always consequences to your actions. You deceived your husband, your son played along, and now your other son wants to kill your other son. Okay? So now she has to construe another plan to save his life. Verse 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Well, yeah, look how that word that got you, Jacob. You know, Jacob should have been like, Mom, I love you, but we need to just go ask for forgiveness. You know, ask Dad for forgiveness, ask Esau for forgiveness. But, you know, it seems that Jacob's a little mama's boy, okay? And he's just listening to Mom here. He says in verse 43, now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with them a few days. Obviously, a few days ended up turning to years, okay? Until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do to me? So what is she saying? You know, she's lying to her husband again. Okay? She's like, oh, these daughters, we need Jacob to marry some. I'm going to send him over to my brother's place. But the reason she's sending him over there is to save his life from the vengeful actions of Esau. So Rebekah, you know, we praise you for having so much faith, leaving your homeland to go marry Isaac. But sister, you know, get your stuff together, okay? Stop being such a deceiver and a liar. And look, you know, sometimes people grow up in a home where lying is just a normal thing to do. They call it little white lies. Well, if I don't lie about it, how am I going to get this? It's called just being honest. It's called, who cares what the result is? Just be a person of integrity? Yeah, but if I don't lie about this, then I'm not going to get this deal. If I don't lie to this person, then this is going to happen. Well, let it happen. It's better to tell the truth and suffer the consequences because of it then just build up the reputation of being just a complete deceiver, a dishonest individual, a person who lacks integrity completely. But obviously, Rebekah, she didn't, you know, no one was there to tell her that. And so she sends Jacob away, and then we will continue that story next week and see how that goes with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, help us as your people to have faith in you, Lord. When our feelings deceive us, help us to go according to the voice of the shepherd. And may we internalize the truths of God's word, the convictions of the Bible. Help us to familiarize ourselves with what the Bible explicitly says so that we're not deceived by trickery, by the cunning craftiness whereby people lie in wait to deceive, by subtlety. And Lord, we can't always trust our feelings. We obviously know that you want us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Emotions are good, but sometimes they can be deceptive and lead us astray. And it's at that point that we need to make sure that we gird our loins with truth and that we go according to what the Word of God says and not lean unto our own understanding. Bless us as we go on our way, Lord. Give us a great weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, we have one last song this evening, song number 355.